Wow.
Always a visionary.
I mean, I think we just made history bringing voicemail onto audio. I don't know if that's ever been done before.
I don't think it has. Never.
Barriers to entry, Bobby. Barriers to entry.
Welcome to Barriers to Entry, the podcast where every episode we get into it with the leaders, the designers, the early adopters, and the influencers who are driving innovation in the architecture and design industry. It's the metaverse, it's AI, it's blockchain, and it's all happening here. I'm Bobby Bonet, an executive vice president at Sandow Design Group. And as always, I'm joined by Digby co-founders, Andrew Lane and Tessa Bain. This episode, we're not going to get into it, though, with the leaders, the designers, the early adopters, and the influencers. I'm sorry to mislead in the intro. But we have an exciting episode today, though, I will say.
We do have influencers, early adopters, and leaders. It's just the getting into it part is the part that we're...
We'll talk around them. We'll talk around the early adopters and the influencers. Because what's going on today, Tess? Can you kind of tee us up for the next 20 minutes or so of outstanding content?
Yeah, I feel honored that you would give me such honors. We do have a really special episode today where we have asked some of our past guests to call in, leave a voicemail for us, give their insights or foresight, perhaps, into trends of 2024. So we've got some really great people coming on. And I know Andrew and Bobby, you guys are pretty pumped to listen to some of these voicemails. This is not, you know, the end of the voicemails, though. Is that right, Bobby?
This is the premiere of the BTE hotline.
Uh-huh.
917-934-2812. And we'll give away a pair of surround socks if anybody can turn that into a catchy 917, you know, BTE, BTE, BTE. We haven't figured that one out yet.
I was so hoping. We need a jingle. We absolutely need a jingle. And I think that, you know, socks feel like appropriate compensation.
Right.
For a jingle these days, in the age of AI, this is what we're valuing creativity at, Bobby.
Yeah, sucks. But today is the hotline episode, episode 32, as producer Rob reminded us heading into the recording today. And by the way, we are coming off of two amazing interviews, Iran Chen and Matthew Lenore. So we're going to go through about five voicemails from some of our favorite past guests today. And then we're going to go for a little spring break, a little late winter, early spring break, and then come back with some really fresh content in 8 weeks or so. I think that's the plan, right, guys?
Yeah, you might call it season two, although the length of a season is an undetermined period.
It's a long
period.
Season one.
Yeah.
Season two will finish in 2027.
It'll be
Do you want to tee up the first act of voicemails, Andrew?
I'd love to. Our first voicemail, as I understand, is coming to multiple time BTE guests. So why not have her be technically a 3-time guest, which according to recent information makes her officially a friend of the podcast. ThinkLab President Amanda Schneider with her thoughts for 2024.
3 times might actually become a best friend of the pod.
Bestie? Podcast bestie?
Yeah. Like 2 times for a friend, 3 times for a bestie.
Her IMDb page is just filled with BTE credits.
Anyway, we're gonna head to this voicemail now.
Hey, Bobby. It's Amanda. I'm hoping I'm first to leave a voice message here. And I am calling in to share one of our bold predictions for 2024. One of my favorites is, I believe that in 2024, we will see a true shift in thinking with so many tangible examples from physical digital to digital physical. What I mean by that is I think in an industry focused on physical space and tangible things and touching and feeling, we've tried to shift digital, but by looking at physical space and how we take those things digital, there's been lots of talk this year about the metaverse. And I think what we're going to see next year is a shift to leading with digital to get people to show up in the physical. We're still in the middle of the great back to office debate of 2023 that has been persisting for some time. And I think leading companies are really going to figure out how to leverage digital to share information that can only be shared in those ways and then get people back to physical space. So hope you enjoyed. Talk to you soon.
Wow.
Always a visionary.
I mean, I think we just made history bringing voicemail onto audio. I don't know if that's ever been done before.
I don't think it has. Never.
Barriers to entry, Bobby. Barriers to entry.
Before you guys talk about this real quick, can I just point out that that is like a theater level tongue twister in some of the sentences that Amanda said there. Like,
oh my gosh, in single take Schneider.
Totally. Yeah. Like ripe white wheat readers, digital, digital.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting about Amanda's prediction, by the way? I don't know if Andrew and Tessie feel the same way, but digital to physical is kind of where we were at like pre-pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. You used, you know, digital channels to get somebody to a showroom and then experienced whether it's product live or experience an event with other designers live. And now we're kind of getting back there in 2024, it sounds.
I think there's also just like the next level of that too, because we've seen so many new tools evolve. And like, this was a big reason why we started our company, is just the opportunity to do these things on a more immersive level. So, you know, we're definitely seeing that in our work as well, that people are really interested in what digital and the level of, you know, let's call it metaverse, is able to do to help with things like limited showroom availability or remote sales forces, you know, all sorts of different constraints financially around the way in which you can get product in front of people. You need to be really creative with the way in which, you know, you deliver that story and you deliver that message and you deliver the real immersiveness of the product. And Tess, I know you, like, you've been doing this for a really long time. Like, I'm sure you've seen this shift in real time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of think about, like, I loved her comments on the future of work, like where we have so many remote workforces. We have workforces that are hybrid. Of course, some people are being required to go back in office. Where do we lead with digital tools that allow for greater connectivity, that allow for a greater pull to bring you back into physical spaces? And so, like, what does that look like? And in a future of work conversation, I mean, I don't have the answers to that, but I think that conversation is really interesting. And then when you think about how does this apply itself to manufacturers, to products, to specifications, how do we enhance those digital tools that essentially allow us to self-serve that still act as a draw and a pull into physical space or into physical sampling? I mean, even just taking a sustainability angle on it, if I as a designer have a greater visualization tool to see a carpet tile in my space, now my sampling requests are you know, significantly lower. I have a better idea of what that actually executes as in my space and in my drawing. And I, you know, I don't have to ask for as much material. So if I'm a manufacturer, I'm thinking that Amanda's prediction, getting greater strength in digital tools is going to allow me to do my day-to-day business. It's going to allow me greater connectivity to a designer and then an actual more executable and efficient kind of path to market. So that's where I kind of see her prediction going. And I think that's really great. It'd be really cool to see it.
I think the other angle to it too, is just that idea of the experience that's being delivered in the physical space too, right? Like what's, when we talk about the actual place we're designing, like what is it that's drawing those employees or those team members back there? What is it that's getting them into the workplace and getting them into the room? And that's something that needs to be front of mind as well. So I think that there's a pretty broad spectrum to what Amanda's touching on there. It's not a small prediction by any means.
Hi, Surround listeners. It's me, Amanda Schneider, host of Design Nerds Anonymous. And I've got exciting news to share. Another mini-series of DNA is on the way. With the help of my fellow podcaster, Kaylin Reed, from the Alternative Design Podcast with Kimball International, we'll be sharing nuanced insights from recent research conducted across four vertical markets: corporate, education, healthcare, and hospitality. Think of this as your prequel to season 6, launching this fall. Our topic is the future of customer decision-making. We're hearing that project decisions around the built environment are taking longer, and we wanted to know why. So we explored with your customers, and we're very excited to share the results with you. Dropping before NeoCon to give you updated data, better tools, and new questions to drive conversation, we're here to facilitate dialogue that helps our industry and beyond streamline that decision-making. So make sure to follow Design Nerds Anonymous. Subscribe, and then tune in on May 16th for the first episode in this 4-part series. All right, bye for now.
Producer Rob, should we get to voicemail number 2 from Aaron McDonald.
I think that's a great idea.
We might even find that there's a little theme in there somewhere, almost like we thought about this beforehand.
You know, you just couldn't help yourself. You just had to like jump the gun on that.
Let the audience discover the moment.
Exactly. Know? We could draw our own natural conclusions.
Yeah, that's the fun part about podcasting, is feeling like you're there.
Always have to be a winner, Andrew.
Let's go to this voicemail.
Hello, I'm Erin McDonald, the CEO of Elevated, and here's my bold prediction for 2024 on the Barriers to Entry podcast. To get people back to the office, we need spaces that are better than home. Envision offices with walls that come alive, with interactive immersive data through advanced AV-like pixel mapping. These tech-rich environments enhanced by IoT will transform workplaces into hubs of innovation and engagement, far surpassing the home office experience. That's the future of workspaces in 2024.
Aaron is so well-spoken, so elegant.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, and obviously really passionate about her product and what she's doing. Yeah. We'll obviously put all the episodes from all these guests in the show notes for people to go back and check out. But I mean, in part there, Erin's referring to the journey of her own product. But I think it also touches on some of the other guests that we brought on. Because like in the last season, we had people like Sarah DeLeo from Gensler and David Schwartz from Hush on, who are creating those kinds of experiences in different ways as well. And I just think there's so much interesting and innovative work being done in design where the digital is inhabiting the physical space and becoming a part of the built environment. Even just the kind of stuff that Greg Lindsay brought forward when he was on the podcast, I just think there's so much going on in that space as well that it makes a lot of sense to see that that's going to really take off in the year to come.
How far away do Andrew and Tess, you think we are from Aaron's? It's one thing to say like creating an office space that makes your home office feel inadequate. I'm sitting in front of white walls.
Yeah.
I feel like they're caving in on me right now.
Yeah.
It's a very bad angle. But then Aaron talks about like, you know, interactive, IoT driven, immersive experiences that are surrounding you in your office. And I think, you know, one out of every 10 spaces I'm in give me even, you know, an iota of that vibe. So what are you reading from a workplace experiential technology standpoint? How far away are we from realizing Erin's vision? Because I know she's implementing it in her own workspace, but you know, widespread adoption is a whole other story.
Yeah, I think that's a theme that'll probably pervade these predictions and any other predictions that anyone's doing, right? Is the technology available? But then, you know, what is the path to the adoption of it? And I think we'll talk more about that with some of the other voicemails that we heard as well. But, you know, in the case of this, it's really about who are the ones who want to be the leaders. You know, it's tough to be first. I think we've heard a lot of times that in a lot of industries, it's best to be second, if not, you know, shortly behind the second place person. This isn't the Olympics. Shout out to Matthew and our last pod guest. But yeah, I think that the idea of being a fast follower is really appealing to some people, because even if you believe this is the future, you're still at a point where there's a bigger capital outlay in order to get there. You need to do something that's seen potentially as zigging when other people are zagging. And you really need to believe that, you know, in the context of Aaron's example, that's going to be meaningful for your people. So if 1 out of 10 of people are doing it, I think that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Was that a like Think Lab stat, Bobby, or was that kind of your finger in the air observation?
Perception. Perception's reality. Yeah. Qualitative.
Yeah.
I think regarding the office, though, you got to get rid of those like tables out from the windows where like 3 people sit on each side. Got to get them out of here. I need something.
Ooh, I like this producer Rob explains what's out and what's in. This is a nice new segment.
What about the posters with the cat on the clothesline that says hang in there?
I will take that any day over feeling like a piece of cattle when I'm in an office, you know?
I think it's actually a really interesting time because you have a lot of organizations that are looking to bring people back to the office. And I think at least in this market that Andrew and I are in, we've seen companies making an investment to kind of repurpose or redesign their spaces to create a draw for employees. What will be interesting to see is if we do this again next year, Is that enough? I think what Erin's talking about and the type of investment that she's, you know, discussing about bringing to your workspace is something that we haven't really seen before to the level and depth, I think, that we have the potential to experience moving forward. You saw a little bit of it with the well build, like where they could sort of track lighting and uses like that internally in a space. You could track like water stations per square foot. So things like that and employee health in a workspace. The product that Erin offers, and I think also too, just her approach in general to bringing digital into physical spaces, is going to go to the next level. I think it's going to require an investment. And I think that what people have invested into spaces right now, you know, maybe isn't quite to the level of that. And I think the companies that do are probably, even though they're early adopters, are probably going to be the winners in bringing people back to their into physical space.
Well, here's the hot take. And Rob, you can play the Bobby hot take sound effect if you'd like to right now.
We have a Bobby hot. What?
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Thank you. The hot take is what's ultimately going to get people back in the office is people back in the office. I mean, I don't think it matters whether you've got a cat hanging upside down saying hang in there or Erin's technology. Erin's technology is obviously going to get the first four or five people back in the office every day because they're going to be like, I need to be here. Mm-hmm. But when you start to see the compounding effect of just live collaboration, that's when somebody says, I want to be in the office on Wednesday because my coworker's there and there's something that's a lot more meaningful about me working with somebody in person, whether it's at an open floor concept, six person bench seating table or a comfy, cozy office. That's what's ultimately going to wind up, you know, when we're sitting here in a year, define whether people are back in the office or not.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget this article and I can't cite it because I can't remember where it was from, but it was like Forbes or something. And it was this gentleman discussing about his return to office and his company was instating a 3-day a week in-person mandate. And part of the problem that he was experiencing, Bobby, to your point, was he'd be like, I'd go in on a Monday, but nobody's in there on a Monday. He's like, I could be at home and my wife walks our dog with our child every day at noon and I could have been walking with them. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of like the employer doesn't want you to be walking during the day with your family and taking a 2-hour break. Like that's, you're proving the point.
What a
problem.
Nice world we live in.
I know, but he brought up a really valid point is it just does not work if there are not other people in the space. So I think, you know, thinking about that as a strategy of return to work is definitely important.
I think the other thing, just to build off of the hot take without any sound effects, is just that there is also the matter of keeping people not just in the office, but in the company. And I think that, you know, some of these experiences that we're hearing as a part of these predictions are going to become more and more important. And it's going to be about figuring out what's the recipe for your business to understand your people, what they need. And it's not just, you know, walking their dog at noon, but there's a lot of other things that people need, to your point, Bobby, about collaboration, all of these things. How do you create that special sauce that's going to make your company a craveable place and it's going to make the people want to go into the office and the people want to stay with the company? And I think that, you know, tech definitely has a role to play there around how to collaborate. And I think that obviously furniture has a role and design has a role to play there as well. So, you know, I think that there's a recipe that everyone's going to need to create. And this is going to be an important year in people starting to experiment with that. So I hope that some of these predictions start to bear out a little bit more than the 1 in 10 that that your informal survey has uncovered.
Should we talk about order, chaos, and a return to minimalism in 2024? Should we do that?
I appreciate you taking my headline from the show notes. So I think we should.
You got it, Andrew. Let's start with Carly Slocum, who is the head of marketing at 3form, which, did you know, official partner of the Surround Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. I know we're jumping the line on plugs, but thought I'd mention that.
I felt like this whole thing was just going to be one big plug, right?
All right, let's go to that voicemail.
Hey, Bobby, it's Carly Slocum, a current acquaintance of the Barrier Century podcast, and someday, hopefully, a true friend. When I was looking at your question, one of the main things that really sticks out to me is just the opportunity that exists with the convergence of all of these really fantastic new technologies like generative AI and virtual reality. And I loved how you guys were talking about the 3Dification of the internet. And really what I think would be hugely beneficial, and I would love to see this happen, is if these tools all started to kind of work together so people could collaborate in a more effective way. So, for example, in our industry, if a designer could use generative AI while in their 3D modeling software and to be able to additionally walk a customer through that and make changes on the fly. But then also to take the fact that, you know, if you have that data that exists with those models that, you know, you could just at a touch of a button finalize a product or a project and spit out the entire specification document without any sort of, you know, manual input that currently takes designers so much time. And then back and forth, I think, for manufacturers and contractors, I think could be a huge help. So just interesting to see, like, now that we have all these emerging technologies, how do they work together? And how does that materialize in the everyday workplace and how it affects the productivity, I think, of not just people in our industry, but just as a whole across the board. You know, what does that look like in various different industries and how that impacts our daily jobs? So anyway, not really a prediction, but just kind of like a, hey, this would be cool. So anyway, thank you.
You know, we're an industry that's just trying to get Revit files. Like, like, do you have 3D files? Yes. Do you have Revit? No.
Yeah, there's a ways to go. I appreciate, first of all, Carly noting that she's hoping to be a friend of the podcast. I think that this voicemail brings her, like, at least incrementally closer.
Definitely.
To that distinction. But secondly, that she called herself out and saying, I didn't really predict anything, but wouldn't this be great? I think that she's right. It would be really great. But to your point, Tess, like there's such a level of status quo that to actually really materially impact things on a day-to-day basis, there's a journey that we need to go on here.
She is onto something though, because if you look at Adobe Max, she's obviously onto something, but it is starting to come to market. Like the generative AI within rendering software right now exists. And mm-hmm. That's really cool. Like that is starting to tie it all together. I think that like, if you're a manufacturer with any ability to customize materials, customize a pattern, customize printing, you know, graphic design, anything like that, and you're not using generative AI in your platform, I think that's a real miss for 2024. Bold take.
There's no sound effect. I barely heard it, but it's a great... There it is. There
My
it is.
Sound effect sort of sounds like Michelle Branch.
Like. Making our way down to the podcast and anyway.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I like it.
I was just going to say, Keith Fine also has some thoughts in this area. So maybe we can go and hear what he has to say.
Beautiful.
Yeah, let's hear that voicemail.
What a year it was. I need a moment just to digest the blur that was 23 before we move on to 24. I think this past year was kind of like deciphering chaos and trying to figure out how to make use of it. Advancements in visualization and XR, generative design and imagery tools, augmented reality, chat and competing language models. Well, for 24, I'm hoping we'll see a little order out of all of this chaos. This year, there was so much to assess, and I think that we'll start to be able to apply many of these tools to actual use cases as the tools evolve. Other themes I'm anticipating, well, I'm seeing and hoping some legal barriers will start to be tamed. I'm expecting fast-moving improvements in the many new applications that we were just introduced over the past year. Also hoping there's some connections being made between visualization solutions, planning tools, the estimating process, and fabrication, kind of tying all that together. And hopefully, industry-wide data sharing standards beginning to form.
So lovely.
Mm-hmm. Love Keith. 2024 will not be peaceful because I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. So it will not be peaceful, but I appreciate the wishes from Keith. Also, can appreciate that shout out to estimating. My dad's a general contractor and he deals with the pains of estimating on a day-to-day basis. But I think Keith's prediction is probably spot on from what he's wanting to happen in 2024, looking for order. But I would imagine that where Keith's at from an adoption standpoint is probably far beyond where other folks are at from an adoption standpoint. So I'm wondering, maybe Andrew, if you want to take this, like how would you distill down or maybe take down where Keith's at from an embracing technology standpoint and where he's moving forward to in 2024, take that prediction and make it a little bit less intimidating for somebody who's maybe newer to XR, who's newer to using AI in the specification process, who's newer to using visualization tools the way Keith and Slam are using visualization tools in the client development process?
You know what? I think the biggest thing, Bobby, that I'd go to with that question is the productization of all of this. You know, a lot of what we're seeing right now is people building things the way that Keith and the Slam team are. And shout out to that episode that we'll link in the show notes where he talks about the products that they're starting to build. But, you know, if you use any kind of a tech right now, you're starting to see AI get embedded in it. You know, pretty famously, Microsoft is a huge investor in OpenAI. And, you know, we've moved on quite significantly from the little paperclip in the bottom of the corner of the screen on Windows, where we're going to see really meaningful AI everywhere. Like I try to post something on LinkedIn and it says, hey, let AI do it for you. That's the kind of stuff that I think is really important that we're going to see a lot of in this year. But in order for Keith's prediction to come through and in order for what Carly's asking for to come true, this stuff's going to need to get productized with the industry in mind. So whether that is Revit, shout out to Tess's previous comment, really starting to embrace these kinds of technologies, or something new. And, you know, we've known and we've talked about a lot of new tech that are coming along, really starting to gain a foothold and grow. You know, those are the things that are going to be needed, because the other thing that both Keith and Carly talked about was this idea of interoperability. And that kind of requires people using the same tools in a lot of instances, or minimally the kind of open data standards that Keith mentioned as a part of his answer, in order for it to happen. So, mm-hmm. you know, to just make that much more summarized, you're going to start to see this stuff show up, but whether that's going to be in the form of products that are actually going to be form-fitted for this industry, that might be a stretch for the next 12 months. That's something that sometimes takes a little bit more time when you're in an innovation cycle like this.
Tess, how do you and Andrew work together to introduce some of the innovation work you're doing on the Digby side of the house with the clients with which you work on the House of Digby side of the house?
Yeah, it's a really good question, right? So on the House of Digby side, we are working directly with manufacturers and then selling, of course, into architects and designers. And so quite often we get a lot of questions kind of on in all three parties of that triangle. I think when I hear Andrew speaking about his summary of kind of what Keith was saying, the way that it works, that we productize these technologies that help with process that the industry can use. So whether it's like construction process or planning tools or things like that, if we do not get manufacturers on board, or if we do not get clean data from manufacturers, then it's really hard to sort of feed the machines that will allow us all these greater efficiencies. So that's where I think when Andrew says it's going to take a little longer than 12 months, it's about getting that clean data and being able to kind of feed the machines to get the information that we need to allow the industry, the architects and designers, the greater adoption of these tools. That's kind of what I see. And so that's where we kind of play a lot of those conversations into the manufacturers when we're talking about innovation. It's, you know, you have an opportunity to be included in providing data on some of these tools that will allow architects and designers to self-service on projects and to accurately identify both product information that's helpful for them, whether it be sustainability, performance, price, installation information, all of that, in a system that self-serves and builds out schedules and allows them to connect the dots with the contractors and the estimators, Bobby, just like your family, and sort of kind of keeping it a cohesive circle of interested parties. So I think that's what's going to be very interesting to see, which I think will take a little longer than just a year ahead of us, but already exists today.
And there's a lot of people working on it, but it's like, who's going to emerge? Like, these are the sorts of moments where the new category is being made. Who are going to be the new Facebook that's going to kind of rise up? Because Facebook wasn't the first social network. They were just the one that got everybody on board. So, you know, that happens at an industry level too. Revit wasn't always Revit. These are the sorts of moments where these tools emerge, and it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes down in the coming year. What about from your side of the house, Bobby? What are you guys, are you guys looking at anything cool? Or are you guys seeing anything along these lines from your gigantic seats from the Sandow throne?
Way up in the Sandow skybox. Yeah.
It is like the 25th floor, isn't it? It's pretty high.
I guess what I'll plug a little bit early is we just released our 2024 B2B marketing report, which went into some of our forecasting for the upcoming year, which and that report included insights from ThinkLab, Interior Design, Metropolis, our marketing services division, and then a retrospective with some takeaways from our perspectives conference back in 2023. That report was available to all of our 2024 SDG Max partners. And again, I'm going to jump the line one more time on plugs. If you're interested in learning more about SDG Max, reach out to me or reach out to producer Rob. And he's happy to tell you all about Max as well.
With sound effects, I believe. Yeah.
With sound effects, with sound effects. Funny.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think we should take it to our fifth and final voicemail of the day. Just a reminder, if you'd like to leave a voicemail on the BTE hotline, you can. It's a free country. 917-934-2812. We might include your voicemail in a future episode of Barriers to Entry. But before we play your voicemail, it's time for Rodolfo Agrela, who is going to take us home with this clip from producer Rob.
All right, let's play it.
For 2024, I think that we're going to see more minimal approaches to design, specifically through the use of AI and new technologies. I think that we all as a society are moving towards a more purposeful and meaningful objects, spaces, interactions. So I see the manifestations of those projects coming next year.
Short, sweet, and succinct.
Yeah, it's a nice note to send us out on too, Bobby. I mean, it's the kind of message that we heard in our previous conversation with Rodolfo, but really focused in on the evolution that's going to take for the coming year. And I mean, I honestly think it ties a nice bow on all the other predictions too, because certainly what Keith and what Carly were searching for was a little bit more simplicity and a little bit more minimalism in all that chaos.
I think what's interesting will be the balance between finding minimalism in leveraging these technologies and then rejection of these technologies because they feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
Just last week when we spoke with Matthew and we asked him about AI, he felt as though AI was just effectively a regression to the mean and lowest common denominator of, everybody else's work. Mm-hmm. And I think, there was a bit of a spirit there of getting toward a message of, minimalism is better than taking advantage of all these tools. And so kind of what we were getting to with Keith's voicemail, if you start from a place where you're trying to take in all of these technologies at once, you're going to feel overwhelmed and you're going to be in a place where it's going to feel a little bit too much to get started. So identifying how to harness these tools, if we can figure out how to create the next Facebook, the four of us, I think we'll be in a good spot from a tooling perspective. But if somebody else out there has an idea, I think that will help drive adoption so that we're not figuring out how do we bolt together nine different technologies to create this Frankenstein super Terminator monster. And instead, we're identifying ways in which we're improving workflows, improving systems, and improving maybe even qualities of life, whether it's, in a warehouse or end user or somewhere in between.
Well, to throw back to 2023, a lot of credence is being given to the power of the concepts of Web3 and everything that's happening right now, because open source is back. In a way that it hasn't been in a little while. There was a lot of closed walled stuff that, Apple was a big purveyor of and saying, if you got Apple, that's all you need. But we're really back at a place from a technology standpoint where people are building things in a more open way, which is an optimistic call for both the kind of integration that some of our predictions were looking at, but also to allow for the kind of minimalism that you're talking about as well, because you don't need the Frankenstein. It's all the same little cute baby monster, like Mike. What's the I in Monsters Inc., guys?
Bobby's all over it.
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, much more endearing monster than a Frankenstein.
We need the Billy Crystal of AI. That's what we're seeking.
Nice. Another throwback to the 90s. This is great.
Is this our cue for plugs?
I mean, you never really stop plugging, but might as well keep going now.
I just have one plug, and that is Andrew and I are going to be at the Sphere at the end of February. We'll also be at KBiz and the International Builder Show. So if you happen to be in Las Vegas at the end of February and you'd like to meet up at the Kitchen and Bath Industry Show or the International Builder Show, or you'd like to go on an excursion to the Sphere.
Tickets aren't cheap. The tickets are not cheap.
Very much not minimalist and very much not the same price as your local trip to the Seaford movie theater. Let us know. Hit us up on LinkedIn or send us an email and we'd love to meet up.
What if you live a short plane ride from Palm Springs to Las Vegas?
Come on down, producer Rob. We'll see you there.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. It's a BYO ticket event though. We'll tell you what row to find us in.
I have my ways.
Amazing, amazing. No, that's a great plug. We hope to hang out with lots of you in Vegas. Rob, what did you take away from all of the conversation and sound effects that we heard today?
Nothing much more than what you guys have said. But what the one thing that keeps coming.
Well, nothing.
more than what you all have touched on. But I will say some of the things that, and I'm going to try and be on a serious note here, but. There's like the fallacy of productivity, right? Mm-hmm. Where like people think like I can always be more productive. I can always use these tools to help make me the most efficient being ever. But a lot of times what I think people forget when they're using tools to be productive is that like you actually need to have systems in place. Mm-hmm. And I think things like, designing an office or using these AI tools or whatever it might be, if you can implement them into a system, that's how you're going to get the most productivity out of your team, yourself, whatever it is. But you can't just say like, by doing this, productivity is going to magically happen because that it doesn't. You have to like use all of these things together. And that's kind of my big takeaway from this. And the thing I will plug, because Bobby, I've actually talked about some people on the Surround team, this is a book called How to Write an Email. And it changed the way I communicated with people at the office. It is incredible. And I think that it works in line with everything that you guys have talked about today.
What's a good email versus a bad email?
Less is more is one thing, but you still want to communicate your point, right? So just going off the top of my head, if you need something from someone, what you need from them should be in the subject line and the first sentence in the email.
I like it.
So that's a very broad example, but it should be like, I need three things from you today. Here are the three things I need from you today. Bullet point one, bullet point two, bullet point three. And don't say end of week or end of day. Say like 12:37 p.m. because it's better to say like 12:37 p.m. and get made fun of for being like, oh, that's hyper specific, but they remember it. End of day could mean midnight or 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Well plugged.
Very well plugged, everyone. And the last plug is just a reminder about the hotline. I think we're excited to hear more from the audience once we get back from our little break. We'll really be excited to bring some thoughts in from the audience and make our content as collaborative and inclusive as possible in that way. So hoping that people call in. I'm hoping that we get some takers on writing that jingle in exchange for those socks. And I look forward to not being able to get the jingle out of my head. Like that's, if you got a good jingle, you know it because you're walking around singing it. 30 years later, I can still sing the jingle for the Gibraltar Trade Center in London, Ontario. So
nobody even knows what London, Ontario is.
Well, oh, then the Seaford movie theater wasn't too inside for okay. for Bobby.
Also, I have a pair of those socks. They are lovely and very warm. So
all right, that's our final plug, I think.
By the way, 917-934-2812. That's the hotline.
Tess, do you want to send us home?
I would. I would love to say a very big thank you to our Barriers to Entry production team. That includes our producer, Rob Schulte. Rob, thank you so much for being on today and giving us all of your hot takes. And of course, everyone else back at the studio by Sandow in the pod cave. Barriers to Entry is part of the Surround Podcast Network. Make sure you go to surroundpodcast.com. That is podcast with an S. Smash that follow button and join us next time as we continue to break down the barriers to entry.
A do have to say earlier, I think I said piece of cattle, and that doesn't.
Yes, you did. I was gonna pick up on the piece of cattle, and I wanted to know which piece.
Piece of cattle.
Tenderloin.
Yeah, shank.
Yeah.